Welcome to episode 44 of the Inside Ride, a top 20 training podcast. My name is Kevin Brennan, soon to be joined by my partner, Tom Cody. Very excited to introduce you to Del Oro High School in Bakersfield, California. Principal Gail Bentley will be joining us to share many, many, many tools and strategies their school is implementing in both their teachers and simply the look of the school and how the school functions in order to remove fear for students, create an environment that is accurate to what actual life is like, all while teaching a bunch of great stuff. So, Del Oro High School, Bakersfield, California, Gail Bentley will be with us shortly. Reminder, Top 20 Training, we share tools and strategies to help folks think, learn, and communicate more effectively. You can find us at www.top20training.com. Our August PD dates are getting filled fast. So if you're interested or need us to come speak with your faculty, staff, or your students, or parents, coaches, just get in contact with us. Hit the website or you can email us at info@top20training.com. The two is numerical. Here we go, episode 44. Thanks so much for being along for this week's ride.
Hey everybody, it's Tom Cody and Kevin Brennan coming at you with another podcast called The Inside Ride, that little look at our mindfulness and how our inside shapes our outside. Kevin, how are you doing this week?
I'm good. I'm actually sitting here marveled at your very succinct way of introducing our podcast. I like that. That was pleasant.
Yeah. Well, you do 56 of these, and maybe sooner or later by accident, you blind squirrel steps in a nut once in a while, Mr. Brennan.
Yes, they do. Well, it's a beautiful day here in Minnesota. Spring has definitely come to visit us and probably stay, which is great. My back hurts from raking for 6 hours yesterday, but you know what? Sun's shining. I got a sunburn on my neck. I'm all right.
You're okay. Now, speaking of beautiful weather, we're on with California today. We were lucky enough to run into some folks at the California Association of Activities Directors in March. We met some folks, then we were able to follow through and meet their boss, Miss Gail Bentley, who's on with us today. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning, Tom and Kevin.
She is the principal at Del Oro High School, and we were on with her and we talked to her and her team a little bit about what they do there. We were blown away. So today's podcast is really all about Gail sharing some thoughts in a world where education has taken a major hit over the last 4 or 5 years. We think we're going to provide some of our listeners today with some hope, Gail, because you seem to have stumbled upon, in imaginative ways, a better way of doing all this.
Yeah. Great. I look forward to sharing.
And you know, from our previous conversation, Gail, I have just a ton of notes of things that we'd like to touch on. But maybe just to start, could you just tell folks a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in that wonderful chair you're in at Del Oro?
Sure. I have been in education for 31 years now. I started out as a math teacher, and a lot of kids have some kind of fear of math or phobia of math. And so I always took the road to teaching math that I'm going to try and make you fear it less. So I've always kind of had that let me help you out a little bit mindset as I was a teacher. And so I taught for 14 years in both junior high and high school. I moved over to high school and taught algebra and geometry to some awesome students at one of our comprehensive sites in the Kern High School District. So Kern High School District now today has 19 comprehensive high schools, 5 continuation sites, and 2 CTEC ROC facilities and adult school. So we are the largest 9-12 district in the state of California. And I went through the ranks of dean of students, assistant principal, made it to principal in 2014 at one of our comprehensive sites, Foothill High School, which was, when I took over, about 52 years old. It's one of our older schools, very traditional. Loved it. Great school. And then COVID hit, and that was quite the challenge for us. we got through COVID. I thought we did it pretty successfully as best as we could. Coming out of COVID, our school district was already planning, already had the land and the plans and everything to build school number 19, which we named Del Oro High School. I did not have anything to do with the naming, but I love it. It means of gold. And set to open that school in the 22-23 school year. And so per our district's protocol, they like to put a sitting principal and probably somebody who's got a little bit of veteran status. I'd been the principal at Foothill for 7 years and talked with my superintendent about, you know, that seemed like something I'd like to do, especially, you know, ending my career as a principal of a brand new high school. So I applied, I got the job, and ending my stay at Foothill High School in 21 and taking over Del Oro in 2021, I hired an assistant principal and a secretary, and we lived on a trailer just like to the west of the football field, I'm sorry, to the east of the football field, and spent some time trying to figure out what would Del Oro High School look like. And so that's how I landed where I'm at right now.
Wow. And is your district, I have a note here, 46,000?
Yeah, we're about 46,000 students. Yep.
Wow.
We're, as I said, the largest 912.
Yep, so in the midst of 46,000 students and a new high school of gold, then Gail Bentley rolls in. Can you paint a little picture of what your hopes were for the school and what has kind of happened in terms of making this a place that probably supports this idea of fear less, you know, fear math less, yeah. fear school less. I mean, because real quick, Gail, I was a knucklehead kid in school. I wasn't a big academic kid, but my whole game changed when I met a teacher that really did that. He happened to be a math teacher. I was a soccer player. He was the varsity football coach. So our worlds were different, yet he made me fear math less, and it changed my trajectory, you know? So what are some of the kind of big things you wanted to accomplish and have accomplished that would stand out from other schools?
Well, yeah, we knew we were going to open a school coming right out of COVID. And because my assistant principal and I sat in a trailer with no students for a whole year, and that was the year that they were bringing kids back, I was still part of the structure of what we call the PAC, Principals Advisory Council. So I heard all the stories about how difficult coming back was for these students. I knew that we needed to do something to help these kids get back into school, but I wasn't sure what that looked like. I knew how to be a principal. I'd been one for 7 years. And so I knew how to do that, but was that exactly how I wanted to do it? And I'll be honest, you know, they said, congratulations, you're the principal of Del Oro High School. The facilities planner in our district said, come on down to the office and we'll hand you the plans. And it was, you know, this huge document, you know, 500 pages, it felt like.
Oh my.
Bigger than legal size paper. And I threw that in the back of my car, went back to Foothill, put it on my desk and started thumbing through it. And heck, I knew how to be a principal. Okay, let's look. We're going to have 9th and 10th graders. We're going to need these classes and these classrooms. And I start looking through these plans and I realize this facility is not like any of our other 18 comprehensive sites. We had not built a school in Kern High since 2014, I think, was the last time we built a site. And we actually built two at that time. And they were similar in design and similar in structure. But this was different. We used a whole new architectural firm down in Ontario, HMC. And as I'm looking through these plans and talking with our facilities planner, she said, well, why don't you call the principal architect down there and talk with her about it? So I did. And the principal architect was incredibly welcoming and excited about what they had seen as something that would be great for Kern High School District. And so in talking with her and looking through these plans and thinking, wow, I think I have an opportunity to put something in place that's vastly different in design and structure, instructional methods, everything could be different. What an opportunity to take as we come out of COVID to plan something completely different for this district. So I set about doing that, cool. But I wasn't sure what I was doing.
So Gail, talk about, you got colorful stuff. You got more open areas. You got no bells. Describe the environment at Del Oro.
Sure. So the first thing I figured out was, if I'm going to drop this school, just like every other school, we don't have enough classrooms. There just aren't enough. And I know that because I know how to be a principal. So in talking with the architect, they have this plan where teachers move from room to room, thereby creating a highly collaborative environment. Really? Teachers talking to teachers during the day? That's not heard of. They don't do that. They get to work early. They shut the door. Some of them, myself included, when I was in the classroom, little piece of paper on the little big window you got at your door so nobody can tell you're there. You sit there and you plan and you grade. This school does not allow for that. Our teachers move from room to room. Students move from room to room. So if you teach algebra, you're in room 515. But if you're going to teach geometry next block, you're in 505. And the rooms are instructional spaces. They are not somebody's classroom. They are spaces for instruction. We are the only school, other than our Career Technical Education Center, we're the only school that has color on the walls. The color was strategic. The walls on the outside of the building match the walls on the inside of the building, and it's strategic in planning. The architects planned it that way. The color just is a calming influence on the whole classroom environment. The furniture is flexible. So you want them in groups? Great. Roll them in groups. You want them in rows? Great. Roll them into rows. Classrooms can be reconfigured on the fly. We have a block schedule because our facility encourages outdoor education. We have shade structures throughout the campus, seating galore, cement benches, regular benches, tables. There's seating for classes to go outside and learn. Imagine a student who's in the classroom doing his history work, and they take the class outside where there's blue sky or a little bit of clouds. The kid got to move around, get the blood flowing. Yep. Kid now can re-engage in the instruction. So the transitions within the block are strategic, and the teachers are doing a fabulous job of planning for transition that's part of the instructional program. So we do block schedule. We do not ring bells, because why? There is nothing in society that mirrors a bell ringing to go to something different other than education. We believe our students are responsible enough to get to class on time. Everybody's got a cell phone. Everybody knows what time it is. We can tell them class starts at 9 or class starts at 11:15. Good. Get there. Our expectation is you will get there.
Yeah. And I think that's called just putting the bar up here, because they're going to eventually have to be at that bar. So
eventually? You think a kid goes to a Taylor Swift concert and wonders what time it is?
Right.
Like, they know how to show up on time for anything they care about.
That's true.
They always know what time it is.
Yeah. And what better show of belief than saying, no, 9:15 is English. So see you there. I believe you can do this.
Also, the teacher starts packing up and leaving the room. Pretty good indication that's the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't need to go, And then I love the color thing, Gail. I always joke that most high schools are Shawshank beige from to attic, and then you wonder why the kids think they're in prison. I mean, it's anyway, that's awesome.
Yeah, we have all of our buildings have a Wayfinder color. So on the first day of school, the kids will say, I have English first period. What building is that? And I'll say, well, that's that orange building. See the orange down there? That's the orange building. So I don't say the 600 building. It is a 600 building, but it's the orange building. So kids can see the color. Then they go in the 600 building and the orange is throughout the hallway. We have quotes on the walls inside the buildings that inspire students to make good choices, do the right thing, appreciate culture, appreciate differences. We're a safe space school.
Yeah.
We want kids to come here and feel comfortable. Our teachers use equitable grading practices. So we don't grade on a 0 to 100 scale. You give a kid a 50%, 50 out of 100 on the first test, they're dead in the water.
Sure.
They can't recover from that. How do you recover 50 points? But you grade on a 1 to 4 on a rubric and you tell the student, well, you got a 2. Let's look at what 3 needs. You think you can get yourself to a 3? Great. Study, do this work, come back, take this assessment, show me that you are continuing to learn. Oh, in education, we use the term lifelong learners all the time. But do we practice that?
Yeah.
I don't think on the whole, I'm not sure that we do. But here at Del Oro, we practice students, you will be lifelong learners. Mastery of 4 on a scale doesn't mean you've learned it all. It means you have learned enough to go to the next level and continue your learning.
Well, and
so
growth.
We're building lifelong learners here.
Awesome. Awesome. And I love, you know, the color, going back to the color and then walking the halls and seeing these quotes and safe school. You know, you said in our previous conversation, the colors to inspire, the colors to calm them, the colors mm-hmm. to make things less frantic. And to the non-educators that are listening, that translate the brain into a calm place where actually learning can occur. Because Gail, I understand some of the kids are coming from tough places. And I always think about this. It's like, okay, regardless where the kids are coming from, whether it's tough, high trauma, or safe, school has to reshape environment so that their brain is in the spot where learning can even occur. Like one of the questions Tom and I ask sometimes when we visit schools is, how ready to learn are your kids when they walk in? And every educator knows, every educator that goes, not ready, you know? But then the next question is, well, what are you doing to get them ready? Right. And there's no disrespect to a lot of places, but there's not really an answer. You're giving an answer. You know what I mean?
Trying.
We're doing X, Y, and Z to calm this thing for various reasons, not just for academic. And I think that's incredible because you mentioned how a lot of teachers used to shut their doors in other schools and just get down to business. Well, teachers have huge to-do lists, but when they do that, and when I did that, it's taking me away from something called a professional discussion with a colleague, you know, and that could look like this. Hey, Tom, I can't move the needle with Rajan. What am I supposed to do? I know you had him last year. Give me some ideas. That's a professional discussion. They're professionals. So I just love that it's instilling belief in kids, but it's also looking at these educators saying, like, I believe that you will navigate this well and do whatever's best for these students, you know.
Right.
I'm just marveled by it.
I want to take this to the idea of a team, T-E-A-M. When I first met Desmond, who's one of Gail's teachers in Reno, I could tell there was a team at Del Oro immediately. Like, you folks decide things together. I know, Gail, you're the boss, but you've created this idea that we're collaborating, and most schools are competing. And I think you still need to compete. You got to get A's or whatever, mastery 4s, whatever. But behind you, I see letter jackets, and most schools go to football players in every other school in California. But you're doing that with kids who are getting mastery or A's or straight A's. But again, they're part of the team. There's a team. You can join this team and get this jacket, and you don't have to tackle somebody or hit a baseball. And not all of us are great at that.
Yeah.
Tell us about the jackets.
Yeah. So at the school I was at previously at Foothill, the principal there had started a structure that students who got a 4.0 got a Letterman jacket. And I thought that was amazing. That was great. I love that. And I continued that at that school once I took over. So when I came here to Del Oro, I thought this is really a cool area for us to do this in. We are in one of the lowest socioeconomic areas in Bakersfield. We're on the east side of town here. It's a beautiful, beautiful view. We've got mountains just to our east. It's beautiful. But our kids come from environments that don't really always support learning, because we have a lot of students who have to go work in the fields after school's out. They're taking care of siblings while their parents are working, and they need some hope. And so what we do, we have a academic program called Del Oro Gold, and students can get honor roll for getting a 3.0 or above with no D's or F's. They get a certificate, and every time they get gold again, they get a pin to put on a lapel or a sash for graduation. But kids who get a 4.0 in a semester, we give them a Letterman jacket. It's a beautiful gold jacket. It's got real leather sleeves. This is a legit Letterman jacket. It's got our logo. It's a hanging DO. So the D and the O are connected on the jacket. And then we put whatever name they want, first name, last name, on their jacket. We hand them this jacket. You know, the kids, well, when we first rolled this out, the teachers were just so excited, because we believe that doing this will support what the teachers are doing. You know, it's all really about what the teachers are doing here. They're the ones on the front line. Mm-hmm. And so if we can support their efforts to teach kids, to get kids to be engaged, then we'll do that. So we give these kids the jackets, and I thought, oh, wow, this is really, really great. So let's try that. So we did it. We go through our first semester ever of Del Oro, freshman and sophomore only, first semester ever. Get done with first semester, grades are transcripted. I'm like, okay, I'm excited to see how many kids are going to get the jacket. And so I pull the numbers, and man, I had to relook at it again and make sure I wasn't making a mistake, because I had 90 jackets, 90. I got nowhere close to that at a previous school, but here I think the kids were so excited about this new opportunity to come and do the right thing. Again, remember, we're equitable grading practices. We're lifelong learners. We're taking retakes on tests. We're allowing students to continue their learning. We're not shutting them down just because they failed a test or didn't turn in an assignment. So 90 jackets, we got to get ready for that. That gets a little expensive. I thank my district very much for helping me out with that first run, but I promised them I'd find a way to pay for it. We've got a booster club here at Del Oro now that is supporting us in a couple of great fundraising events that help us pay for these jackets. So we went first semester, then second semester, and first semester this year. So we've had three opportunities. We've done about 120 jackets, maybe more. Behind me, what you guys see is my attempt to collect the kids who, whether it was the first semester, second semester, or this third semester, already got the jacket. If they get a 4.0 again, they get our logo or their name on the back. If they get it again, they can get their graduation year or whatever they haven't put on the jacket. So right now I'm trying to collect 51 jackets to get that second or third level of embroidery. And it's just incredible. It's so incredible to watch these kids just, you know, they give me their jacket and they, you know, I'm going to get it back, right? Yes, you're going to get it back.
That's so great.
No, it's a great program that supports learning, and it recognizes the efforts our students are making. And I think that's great.
Huge. Oh,
well, let me say something about retest quick, because I was king of the, Gail, I'm a math guy. And in the old days was like, I'm teaching deadlines. You need to know this by December 5th.
Sure.
And I had a great principal who asked me once, he said, I know you're a big deadline guy, but that's not why we pay you. we pay you to teach math. And Delta Airlines and the IRS can work on deadlines for kids. Like, mm-hmm. that's nice that there's deadlines. Mm-hmm. And there are some, but life isn't like that. My wife right now is repaving our little patio because she didn't like how it looked. Well, no retail. You can't repave. Well, yeah. I got a friend who's remarried. Retest on marriage. I mean, think about it. School yeah. prepares kids for life. Uh-huh. Maybe Del Oro is doing it, but a lot of them aren't. I mean, it's crazy. And yeah. by the way, it's more work to give a retest, Kevin Brennan. If you want to be a great teacher, you got to create some other assessment tool. Yeah.
Yes.
But that's not, we're here for learning, not teaching. Tom, yes. say it again. This is profound. We're here for learning. I was only in it for the teaching, and teachers don't want to work harder.
Mm-hmm.
But you better buckle up if you're going to Del Oro.
Well, yep. and I think the message it sends is, hey, kids, there's always a chance to try again. You know,
yeah.
that's I'm a dad of four. All I do every day is try again.
Yeah.
I'm a soccer coach. All I do is try again. Right. I'm an educator. Try again. You know, that's what I want in the hearts and minds of my four kids. That's exactly what I want in any student I come into contact with. Let's give it a go. So, Tom, do you have any final questions before we wrap this up and let Gail go deal with this incredible school?
No, I just want to say thanks to Gail for doing something for the kids in California that it just drives me nuts. I'm 72 years old, Gail, and I watch people do the same thing over and over again and wonder why the results aren't changing.
Yeah.
At least you're trying something. Maybe these are all dumb ideas. I don't know.
We didn't know.
at least let's try something new. Education hasn't tried anything new. We're still sitting kids in the same stupid rows that were in 1940. I mean, at least you got desks that move. At least you got a schedule and colors. Let's try it. And you know what? I got a feeling you're going to hit home runs faster if you try something new. So thank you.
I agree.
Bottom of my heart. Thank you.
Awesome.
Well, thank you guys for letting me tell the story of Del Oro and how we're supporting students. We have a fabulous district. Our schools are working hard every day to serve those 46,000 kids. And we just got to keep trying.
That's it. Del Oro, go check it out. Del Oro, Bakersfield, California. Get some hope in your hearts. Thanks again, Gail.
Thank you.
Yes. Talk about hope. Goodness sakes. Del Oro, Bakersfield, California. Gail Bentley leading the charge, filled a school with wonderful teachers to take care of wonderful students. And I'm just so fueled with hope when I hear her talk about all the wonderful things happening at that school. So again, folks, this is another option for things you could do in your schools. We got to be creative. We got to be professional. We got to try. Got to keep trying with schools. Keep up the good stuff we're doing and make little changes, big changes, all with the students in mind. I love it. There you go. So again, top20training.com, info@top20training.com. If you are interested, PD, student presentations, we have books, curriculum, we have all sorts of good stuff. Just check it out. Let us know. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to Gail and Del Oro. And thanks to all of you for being along for this week's ride.